to, and I got to reading there, but then what he had in there was wanting to realize how many times heaven and hell is mentioned in the Bible. And if you notice on your bulletin, I got two roads that are there. But you have two choices you got to make. You got to decide if you want to take the road into heaven, or if you want to take the road that easy and everybody wants to take. And it, so that's the stories we're going to go to. And we're going to start with reading that, and then we'll come through probably and break up a little bit more of it as we go through. But it's in Luke 7, or 16, starting in verse 19. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in every luxury every day. How many of us know people that we've seen around town that drive the big fancy Cadillacs or the Lexus or things that are real nice, and they have all the things, and yet they don't have very nice things to say about people. But at his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his wounds. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried in Hades, where he was in torment. He looked up and saw Abraham far off with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip his fingers into water and cool my tongue, because I am agony in this fire." But Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you is a great chasm that has been set in place so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us." And when I was reading this, and I happened to mention to Sharon, I said, "Well, why would anybody want to go from being comforted at Abraham's bosom and go over there to where the hellfire is burning?" And she had the right, she said, because of the compassion that Jesus had. There'll be people there and you'll still have compassion. You'd want to do something for them, but at that time it's too late. You can't go to them anymore. He answered, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my family, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them so that they will not also come to this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." "No, no, Father Abraham," he said, "but if somebody from the dead goes to them, they will repent then." He said to them, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone raises from the dead." So that's, you know, it's pretty much saying there that you better make your choices before you die, because then it might be too late. Abraham's bosom, which was mentioned in 22 there, is paradise, the intermittent state in which souls of the just await resurrection. Hades is the intermittent state of the lost awaiting for judgment. Jesus here gives a conversation between Abraham and Lazarus after death. And then Billy Graham said, to what extent it is imaginary, we do not know, but its implications are plain. For one thing, angels are on hand at the death of the saints to bear them away to glory. For another, the lost are in torment, in verse 23. And there is an impassable gulf between paradise and Hades, implying that death ends our opportunity for salvation. And the standards of this world are not to persist in heaven. Many of those who are first here will be last there. Those who occupy high places here may be in the lowest there. And many of those occupy high places here may be in the lowest there. And many of those whom the high church dignitaries ignore here may be their masters there. Turn to Matthew 19:30. But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first. That was what Jesus was saying. In 21 to 16. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for a day, and sent them into his vineyard. Then about 9 in the morning, he went out and saw that the others were standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, you also go and work in my vineyards, and I'll pay you whatever is right. So they went. He went out again at noon, and about 3 in the afternoon, and did the same thing. About 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing? Because no one has hired us, they answered. He said to them, you also go work in my vineyard. When the evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, call the workers and pay them their wages for beginning with the last ones hired and going to the first. The workers who had hired about 5 in the afternoon came and received a denarius. So when those who came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. These who were hired last worked only 1 hour, they said, and you have made them equal to us who have bore the burden of the work and the heat of the day. He answered them, one of them, I am not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last. So that's what we do when we're going through this world. The ones with the high thoughts, and you know, they aren't necessarily going to be high up there. They'll be, you know, that's what I was thinking. They talked about it, you know, who gets to sit up close by the Jesus when you walk in, and when I get in there, I'm going to go clear down to the far end of the table at the very lowest place I can and sit down, because those ones that go up there and try to sit close, then they're going to somebody else going to come in and say, hey, I've got this place reserved for him. You move on down. That'd be kind of embarrassing. Anyway, we'll turn over to Mark 10:31. That just says the same thing. You could read the whole story about the same. But many who are first will be last. The last will be first. We have heaven and hell. The story of the rich man and Lazarus is one of many. Many sidelights on the hereafter to be found in Jesus' teaching. He talks much about the future life. He appealed to the hope of heaven and the fear of hell. He spoke often of the unhappy fate of the lost, as well as the blessedness and of the redeemed, setting them over against each other. We're going to run through these passages, and on all these here is just kind of where the verses that I all got on that your deal there. It starts with Matthew 5, and they're just the clips there of the verse that has heaven or hell or eternal life marked in it. And if you want to read some more of it as you go through, we don't have time for that, but you can go down through there this week. You can make those your studies and read the whole chapter, and it's way more fulfilling. Matthew 5:12. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they are persecuted the prophets who were before you. And we go skip over down to 22. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother or sister will be in judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, Raca, is answerable to the court. And anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of hell, the fire of hell. 29. If your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than your whole body to be thrown into hell. 30. And if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for you your whole body to go into hell. And if we go forward to Matthew 6:20. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Go on up to 7:21. And this here's one place where that, you know, it talks about the people that are doing great things, and you might put this together with some people that there's some big, great big churches that have big revivals and do things, but they're usually got a healthy price that you can pay them to help do stuff, or they make quite a bit of money from it, and that might not be, they might be thinking more of what they'll make out of it on this life than what they're doing for the Lord. Where it says, true and false disciples. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like the wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundations on rock. But anyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew, beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Guess we could just watch any news this last week or something. You could see where the wind's beating on stuff and the water's beating on things, and a lot of houses were falling down. So that's a good thing out there, but. Then we'll go up to Matthew 10:28. There it says, "Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both the soul and the body in hell." Then we go up to Matthew 13:39-43. "And the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burnt in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever hears, let him hear." Then on over into 13:49-50. "This is how it will be in the end age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Then we'll go to Matthew 22:13. "Then the king told the attendants, 'Tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen.'" When I did read that, I had to go back and read a little more of that that I wasn't really going to do today, but this man sent out an invitation for people to come to his wedding, and they didn't show up. So he sent his servants out and invited to the banquet all that were out, just standing around, just whoever it was in town. Just come on, come to the feast. But when they got there, it was just to go up to 11. It says, "But when the king came in to see the guest, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. And he asked, 'How did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend?' The man was speechless." And then that's when they told him to bind him hand and foot. So if that's the way it's going to be in heaven, they're going to weed you out. So you might get in there, but you'll get thrown back out too. Then we'll go to 23:33. There it says, "You snakes, you brood of vipers, how will you escape being condemned to hell?" Then we go to Matthew 25:23. His master replied, "Well done, a good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness." 30. and throw that worthless service outside into the darkness where it will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And you get into the jest here of everything we have, everything that has to do with heaven is pleasant and happy memories and a good feast and you're having fun and everything is great. And if you're put down in hell, it's weeping and gnashing of teeth. You're not going to be too happy there. And at 34, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. 46, then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. And we'll go to Luke 12, 4 and 5. I'll tell you, friends, do not be afraid of those who can kill the body, and after that they can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after your body has been killed, has authority to throw you into hell. I tell you, fear him. So then on 16, if we go up to Luke 16, 22 and 28. It's back into that one we read earlier. Time came when the beggar died and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried in Hades, where he was in torment. He looked up and saw Abraham far away and Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, Father Abraham, have pity on me. Send Lazarus to dip his fingers in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony here. That's when Abraham said, son, remember in your lifetime you had your good things, while Lazarus received bad things, but now he is comforted and here you are in agony. Besides all this, between us is a great gulf where has been set in place so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us. So it's what the Lord's saying here, you know, is that the things that you're looking at there, like the rich man had his nice things and went out and got everything and it was real nice. Well, that's nice, but how long does that last nice thing last? In the scheme of eternity, that's like a second or two. I mean, it's gone. So don't let that's what Satan wants you to do, is to take those great things and control them and hoard them. Keep them to yourself. Don't share with anybody else. But then when the end of it comes and you have to spend eternity in hell, burning, that's not going to hardly make those very worthwhile. That's where the rich man was trying to say, tell my brothers so they don't do this same thing. At that time, he had learned his lesson. But at that time, it's too late. Let's go to John 3:15. That everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. 36, John 3:36, it goes, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them. I don't think you want God's wrath on you. But I hear that, you know, that's the thing that I hear from people a lot. That they say, well, God's good and God loves and God, we can all do stuff. Jesus might have been a good man, but there's other ways I can do some other stuff here that and still get to heaven. But not anything I read in the Bible says that. It says you've got that's where go back to that little two paths in Joshua. Choose who you're going to serve. For me and my household, we'll serve the Lord. And we'll go to John 5:24. Verily, verily, I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. Well, I like the sound of that. Let's read that again. Verily, truly, I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me, this is Jesus talking, believes him who sent him. Who sent him? God sent him. Has eternal life and will not be judged, but cross over from death to life. That's some good news there. In 28, 29, and just still in John 5. Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done what is good will rise to life, and those who have done what is evil will rise to be condemned. Boy, I just don't want to be there. And if we go on up to verse 39, you study these scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me. This was all in what Jesus was saying. Then we go to John 6:27. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval. If we go on up to verse 39 to 40. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me. That him there is, this is the will of him, that'd be God, who sent Jesus. And I will lose none of those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. Verse 44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up in the last day. 47, very truly I tell you that one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna of the wilderness, yet they died. But there is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, and I will give for the life of the world. And go up to verse 54. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. Need to go to chapter 17, John 17:2. sure why it is always the pages that I want are the one, two that are stuck together. But anyway, Psalm 17:2. For you granted him authority over all people that he might give eternal life to all those you have given to him. If you read just above that, it says, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may be glorified you. Those are the things that has a distinct deal here that says there's this heaven. That's a nice place where you'll be taken care of. You won't die. You won't have any pain. Your knee doesn't hurt. Your neck doesn't hurt. All that stuff. You can have that. Or you can choose the other way, that you have a little bit of fun for just a little while that usually doesn't seem that much fun as you're going through it. You think it's going to be fun. You choose that way. But when it gets all over, you know, it's just like, I don't know how many of you ever saw the Karate Kid movie. And I don't know if it was in one or two, but this other kung fu instructor or whatever, karate guy, was taken over because Augie wasn't going to teach him some stuff. So he was going to go there so he could learn faster. And then so that guy has him sitting there beating his fist against the board just until he's bloody and can't hardly do nothing. All the time he's hitting that, he's over there just snickering and laughing. He thought, oh, that's funny. Well, that's pretty much the same way the devil does with you. This will be good. Go ahead and do that. And that hurts, but no, keep going. You'll get to where you want to go. He's sitting there laughing at you, doing all the stupid stuff. So anyway, now how often the words heaven, hell, eternal life occur? It is a pity that the present-day pulpit so generally distorts the very motive that Jesus himself appealed to. One of the most powerful stimulants to good and to turn away from evil in his life is profound conviction as to the reality of the future life and that our estate will depend on our behavior here. So what you're doing here, I mean, you can't just come one day a week or just on Easter or Christmas and be good, and that's not going to cover you. That's not going to quite do it. That's where that song came in. I want to get so close to him that there's no big change when Jesus calls my name. He's going to call your name. Your knee's going to bow and you're going to confess. A heart firmly fixed in heaven will surely mean a more careful walk in this world. If you're thinking about heaven every day and not the drug party or the binge at night or getting drunk or something like that, if you're thinking about heaven instead, then you're going to walk more careful in this world. As you read these things and you know where those things are going to come, but you can't do it by yourself. You have to go daily to Jesus and say, help me get through this day. One day at a time. I should have sang that song, I guess. One day at a time. Lord Jesus, that's all we're asking from him. And he'll help you get through that. He does the things that I'm sure we all have a testimony that we could say, well, this is where I was. And this is what Jesus helped me through. And now we want to continue and follow in Jesus. Read the word. This one has an end, this life does. That one lasts forever. Then we'll go back to Matthew 7, 13 and 14. About the narrow and the wide gates. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. So the question I have for you is, where do you want to spend eternity? It sounds to me like everything I read, there's two choices. The easy life here and the miserable life afterwards. Or take up your cross and follow Jesus and do the hard things here. With Jesus on your mind, he'll help you get through that. I'm sure God wants people to follow him that have came. You know, he wants them to be willing, and he wants them to be voluntary. We have that option. We have the power of choice. Just as if you want it for down here on this one, if you want to spend it in hell, it's an easy road to get there. Broad road, and everybody's on it. And there's a great big wide gate, just come on down. It's kind of like the game show. Come on down. That's the devil sitting there. Everybody's so happy to get there. But if you want it a little harder here on this life, but a more fulfilling life, you get more joy out of it. The ones that you do down that broad road, it's easy, but you don't get the fulfillment out of there that you got something good happening to you. You go down that hard road in the narrow gate. It's a little bit tougher here because of the people we have to do it around. But the rewards are much greater, and you even got them rewards here. He gives you the rewards here on earth. Just a fulfillment easy in your soul. Then I couldn't go without my favorite verse that I have in the whole Bible. I think the whole world hinges on this. John 14:6. Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And where's the Father? He's in heaven. That's the one you want to get to. And that concludes today's message.